This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is, Daddy Will Make It Better.
One thing that I discovered as a minister from the very beginning is everybody has issues. Everybody is dealing with something. Everybody has something going on in their lives that is putting them under stress, strain, and pressure. Can I get an amen on any of that? Stress, strain, and pressure. Amen. We're all dealing with something. Whatever your issue is, we want to talk about it in this series of messages, and we want to talk about it in the context of Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Whatever the situation that's confronting you, God says that he has already set us up to be more than conquerors, to be more than victorious, to win in the circumstances that we have to face in life. Sickness, financial stress, losing a job, having trouble with the people in your life, the attack of the devil himself on your life. Whatever it is, God says we are what? More than conquerors. Amen? Let me read verses 15 through 18 of Romans chapter 8 so that we put everything in context today. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, catch what that last verse said. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The previous verse says, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Catch the message here. God is never promising us that there will be no suffering in life. God is never promising us that there will be no hard times as a Christian. If nobody's told you this yet, let me be the first to break the news. Christians have hard times in life. You will go through some times of suffering. You will go through some times of stress and strain and pressure. And catch it. If you don't know how to deal with hard times, you, even as a Christian, are going to have a miserable life. Hard times are an unavoidable part of life. And you know why? Catch this. God will use your circumstances to change you before he will change your circumstances. God will use your circumstances to change you before he will change your circumstances. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Look at it. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Do you see it? Tribulation, trial. It's part of God's plan because it develops godly character in us when we handle it right. When we handle it right. And so don't get all upset when you start going through something. Recognize God is at work in your life. Now, here's the second thing you need to know. Your suffering, your hard times are not unique. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. No temptation, and that word temptation in the Greek is exactly the same word that means a trial, a test, a difficult time. No temptation or trial has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested or tried beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Catch what it says in the beginning of that. No trial has overtaken you except what is what? Common to man. You ever feel like you're the only one going through this? Sometimes you feel like you're the only one that ever went through this. I can remember being at some function, or maybe it was just in a restaurant. Wherever it was, I was seated under the fan. And there was a draft. It was cold, and I couldn't move. And I remember sitting there looking around this big room with all these people in it, and I couldn't get anyplace else, thinking, you know what? I'm the only one in this room that's got this air all over him. I'm the only one in this room suffering like that. You ever feel like that? And when you feel like that, what do you move into? Feeling sorry for yourself. Isn't that right? I'm the only one. And you start feeling sorry for yourself. Well, what God is saying is you are not the only one. Whatever situation you are having to deal with now, whatever the issue you're having to deal with now, you are not the only one who has had to deal with that situation. And catch this. God has already brought somebody else through that same situation successfully as more than conqueror, more than victor over that situation. And if he could do it for them, he can do it for you. The suffering that God allows us to go through is limited. He says he will always make a way of escape. He will not allow you to be tested or tried beyond what you're able, but with that trial will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Some of us have some things in our life that are hard. We wish hadn't happened. We wish that we weren't in that situation. And we really wish God would take it away, and he hasn't done it yet. But you know what the word is telling us? In the strength of God, you can handle it. You can handle it. It may seem tough to you right now, but God is saying, I am with you and you can handle it. When you observe me walking, you may observe that I have a little limp. It's because of this knee right here, this left knee. That left knee is now severely arthritic because of a football injury when I was in high school, my senior year in high school. And years later, I went, had them take a look at it, and they said, it's just too late. The only thing that you'll be able to do is have joint replacement surgery. I mean, just take it out. Give you a steel knee, or whatever they make them out of these days. And I said, well, that's not in my plan. Don't plan to do that. And so I kind of walk around with this knee, and sometimes I think back, you know, all of this happened because on one play in a practice on high school football, somebody hit me the wrong way. And this has stayed with me for the rest of my life. Guess what? I can handle it. I can handle it. In Christ, I can handle it. Yes, I wish it hadn't happened. Yes, I wish that, you know, I would wake up one morning and by the power of God, which he can do, he just fix it. Amen? But him having chosen not to fix it yet, I can handle it. Whatever you're dealing with right now, if it's sickness in your body, if it's a financial situation, if it's trouble on the job, whatever it is that you're having to deal with, in Jesus Christ, you can handle it. That's the first thing you need to know today. You can handle it. God says, we can handle it. You know what the worst thing is when we're in a situation? Many times it's not the situation itself, it's fear. It's fear, isn't it? Fear of what's going to happen next. Am I ever going to get through this? If I have something going on in my body, an illness, the fear is what's going to come out of this? Am I going to be able to fully recover, get back all of my faculties, or am I going to have to deal with this for the rest of my life? Look at verse 15 of Romans 8. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. What God is telling us is when we're going through hard times in life, number one, we can know that in Him we can handle it. And number two, we need to know we don't have to fear what's going to happen in the future through that situation. You want to talk about having abundant life? You want to talk about handling hard times? We have to learn to deal with fear. 1 John 4:18 says this, there is no fear in love, but love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Fear involves torment. When you are walking in fear, you are tormented. You know what fear is? Fear is reaching out into the future and borrowing trouble from the future. Now let me ask you this. How many of you feel like you got enough trouble today? Amen. That's what Jesus said. He said, you don't have to reach out into tomorrow and worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What's he saying? Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't let your fear reach out to what might happen. Because have you noticed something? Most of the time, all that stuff we're afraid of, most of it never happens anyway. Amen? God is on our side. Any of you, if I can get personal with some of you now, any of you remember Franklin Delano Roosevelt? Come on, how many of you remember him? Amen. All right. When FDR was elected in 1932, and then he had his inaugural address in 1933, he said something that people have remembered. If you'll remember that during that period of time, the whole nation was sliding deep into depression. People had no idea where they were going to get the money to pay the rent or to buy food for their children. And this is what FDR said when they inaugurated him. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. I don't know if FDR was a Christian, but he had it right. As a Christian, the only thing we really have to fear is fear itself. God's already promised. He's got us covered. Amen. But if the devil can keep us operating in fear, he will keep us in torment. I wonder how many of us could point to some hairs on our head that are gray today. Not just because we got older, but because all the time we spent worrying about stuff that God already had covered. Amen. Fear is torment. Well, what is it that can relieve us from the fear of the future? Ah, let me tell you what can do it. Go back over to Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 15 again. Here's the thing that we need to know that will deal with fear about dealing with the hard times in life. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We have the privilege of turning to God when we're going through hard times and saying, Father. There's a story of Rachel, a preschool little girl. Her father is a pastor. And Rachel had a problem. She would wake up in the night and she'd be afraid and crying in the dark. And the only thing that would soothe Rachel is if she could go and get in bed with her parents. And so they would let her come and get in the bed with them. But then one day, Rachel's mom had to go away on a business trip. And so her dad said, well, Rachel, here's what I'll do. When it's time for you to go to bed, I will come in and I'll stay with you all night. I'll get on the upper bunk in your room and I'll sleep with you all night. So Rachel, at the proper time, went and got in her bed. She went to sleep, didn't wake up all night. And the next morning, her daddy said, Rachel, you slept all night. That was great. But why weren't you scared? Well, she said, because you were with me, Daddy. He said, but when I came in, you were already asleep and you didn't wake up all night. How do you know that I was with you? She said, because you said you would be. That's all it took. When she knew that her daddy was on the job, she had the peace that she needed to go to sleep. Amen? What the scripture is telling us is our daddy is on the job. Look at verse 15 of Romans 8 again. We have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. That word Abba, that's not a rock group. Abba is an Aramaic word that means father, but it has a particular connotation. You know, when a child is first learning to speak, the first word he usually says is mama. And then, man, we hope the next word he begins to say is dada. Probably is something like food. Amen. But that word Abba is a baby word. It's one of those first words that children speak when they see their daddy. And that's the connotation it had in Aramaic. Abba has the connotation not just of father, but of daddy. And catch this. Nowhere in the Old Testament, nowhere in Old Testament times, do you see the Jews calling God, praying to God with that term, Abba. You know why? Because it was too intimate, too familiar. God is God, and he is our father, but they thought, man, to call him daddy, that's too much. No, we have to have more reverence and awe for God than to call him that. But go over to Mark chapter 14, verse 36. Let me show you something. Mark 14, 36. And he said, Jesus said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Catch it. Nobody in the Old Testament dared to turn to God the Father and say, Daddy. Who was the only one who did it? Jesus himself. That's the way he prayed. When Jesus prayed, that's the kind of intimate relationship he had with the Father. Daddy, here I am. And he's able to call upon his daddy. Now look at this. Look at this. Go over to Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. That's the relationship Jesus had with the Father. Nobody else up until that time would dare to pray that way. But now look, Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Do you see it? The relationship that Jesus had with the Father that nobody else dared to try to have. We have it by the power and the grace of God. When we accepted Jesus into our life, God accepted us. Go back to Romans 8. Look at what it tells us again. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You received the spirit of adoption. What does that mean? We are the adopted children of God. In fact, we are God's children two ways. Amen. We are born into his family because you must be born again. Amen. But he also has adopted us. You know the significance of adoption? Some people who adopt children, when they share with them that they are adopted, they'll put it this way. You know what? For you, it's even better than if you had been born into our family. Because when you are born into a family, you take what you get. Amen? But we wanted you. We chose you. We adopted you because you are the one we wanted. Well, guess what God is saying? We are his adopted children because he wanted us. Amen? He wanted us. And here's the wonderful thing about it. Look at what it says in verse 16 of Romans 8. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then what? Then heirs. And heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's who you are. Everything that Jesus is to God the Father, praise God, guess what? By the blood of Jesus, you are as well. How many of you know that God the Father loves God the Son with all the love there is? Amen? And catch this, understand this. What the scripture is telling us today is that if you are in Christ Jesus, if you have received him as the Savior and the Lord of your life, God loves you exactly as much as he loves Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that deep? Isn't that deep?
Yes.
He looks at you just as much as his child, as Jesus Christ himself. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that is deep. That is deep. Suppose you were at work one day, and your child, you know, say he's 10 or 11 years old, calls you on his cell phone and says, Dad, Mom, I was riding my bike and I fell and something's broken. I can't get up. How many of you will say, well, son, it's only 11:30. I get off at 4:30. I'll see you then. No, what are you going to do? Zip right out of there, jump in your car and go do what your child needs. Amen. Catch it. You are God's child. If you need God, you know what you have? Instant access. They have instant messaging on the internet now. Praise God. You got instant messaging before AOL was ever heard of. You have instant access to God. Whenever you have a need, he's there because he's your daddy. He cares because he's father. He's daddy. Well, what does that mean? Whatever's going on in our life, we just need to trust that daddy will take care of it. Daddy will take care of it. I mean, what the scripture is telling us is, oh yes, we need to mature in Christ. We need to grow up in Christ. But you know what? Spiritually, there's a paradox here. As we grow spiritually, as we mature spiritually, we actually become more childlike in our dependence on God. When you start off, and you're very immature as a Christian, you think you can handle some stuff. You're still trying to do some stuff on your own, still trying to make some stuff work out for yourself. The more mature you get, the more you realize, without my daddy, I can't handle anything. And so we need to come to the place where we're simply willing to trust God to work it out. Go over to Philippians chapter 4, look at verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for how much? For nothing. But in how much? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And if you'll do that, what'll happen? Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God is your Father. more than father, he's daddy. And if you will put it in his hands and let him work it out, he'll do it. Go over to Psalm chapter 103. Look at verse 4. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. How many of you have ever been headed towards some kind of destruction in your life and God yanked you out of it? Amen. He redeems your life from destruction. That's what your daddy will do for you. Even when you mess up, even when you're in a hard situation, going through hard times because you messed up. Anybody been there? Amen. We brought it on ourselves. Even then, he will redeem our lives from destruction. Isn't that great? Daddy looks out for us. You see, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, yes, you're going to have to deal with hard times. But if you do it in the knowledge that you are indeed a child of God, and he is not only Father in capital letters, he is that. We should never forget the majesty and the power and the holiness of God. Just like the Jews who would only speak of him as father and never as daddy, we need to remember how great and majestic he is. But we have the same privilege that Jesus had of turning to this great, majestic God of the universe, opening our arms and running to him and saying, Daddy. And you know what he does? He enfolds us in his arms. Can you remember what it was like to run to your mom or to your dad and just be enfolded in their arms? No matter what was going on, you felt like you were safe. Amen? You felt like you were cared for. You didn't have a worry in the world because daddy had you. Mommy had you. That's the privilege that we have today. Here's our last scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 26. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly daddy feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? You're going through some rough times. But guess what? Your daddy has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm right there. All you have to do is call, and you don't even need a cell phone.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.